dream. I used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, issue 24, or episode 24. Small group tonight, which is good, so we don't have any dissenters. we had the others killed. but no real super agenda. There's a couple new books I want to talk about, or books that came out last week. And then we'll just talk about some of the recent stuff that's been coming out, some things that we like, some things we don't like. Couple of issues that have hit the interwebs lately that I'll bring up because I find them very interesting. Other people don't, but that's okay. I'm in charge. So go around the room. My name's Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Jeremy Dan.
Ryan Sargent.
Adam Russell.
Joe F.
And 20-year comic veteran. Come on.
Oh, is that the cue for the next
it
guy?
It is. And calling in from Cleveland?
At Nick Borelli.
Ooh, very nice. Okay. A couple things I wanted to talk about. First, Justice League 2 came out last week, and number one had so much hype, and there was so much put on that book. The only book that came out along with Flashpoint 5, and then the 7-week wait for it, where a lot of people were thinking it's late, but it got pushed up, but whatever, it's finally out. I know I personally, I don't want to say I was disappointed by Justice League 1, but it certainly, I don't know if I'd have tied my entire relaunch to that book. So I was eagerly awaiting issue 2 to see where it was going, and I was very pleasantly surprised. I thought it really stepped up, moved the story along quite well, basically introduced Flash, but also set up the Flash Green Lantern pre-history, showing they had dealt with each other before, and were friends like they used to be back in the old days in the Silver Age, at least the impression I get of how they were. I liked it a lot. Art was still solid. I thought the art was really solid. That's about it. Looks like we're getting Wonder Woman next issue, so it's starting to tie everything together. Plus, you got the origin of Cyborg.
Ooh.
At least the injuries that caused Cyborg.
Yeah, they really tied Cyborg into the story. I like it. It makes it much more logical that he's on the team.
Yes and no. My only concern is he's going to obviously have no experience or training, so he's going to be thrown in very early into these situations.
Well, they don't have a precedent for the Justice League. It's not like they're saying, well, geez, you can't be in the Justice League. We're the Justice League.
Oh, sure, sure.
So, I mean, at that point, I think they're just superheroes. Anyone that's a metahuman gets to be in the team, and they just happen to be the better ones. In years past, there's sort of a pecking order, and they bring that up. It's like, is he Justice League worthy? But there's no precedent, so I would say that they go through all this stuff, and he'll be the, they'll be guilted into having him on the team or something.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this yesterday when I read it, and I actually mean this in the best way possible, but I really feel like this launch of Justice League feels like I'm reading a comic that's based off of the early 80s Superpowers Galactic Guardians animated cartoon, which was the follow-up to Super Friends, the one that had Cyborg as a character.
Yep.
And I am totally cool with that. You know, Geoff Johns is probably close to the same age as I am. I'm sure that's exactly where he got the idea from. But it's just great. I thought number one was good. I definitely understood your concerns about, as a relaunch book, did it have enough to be the flagship out-of-the-gate title? But I thought number two, improved upon it, which is something you always want in a series, is, the next issue to be better than the last. And if Geoff Johns did no other book than this one, I would be exceedingly happy. I think it's great. He has, like, a unique voice for all the characters, so they don't all sound like the same character. And I think his characterizations are just perfect for all of them so far.
I just had a really neat idea that will never work because of the format. But because they're doing it in story arcs, but when Nick said, they'll take anyone on who's a metahuman into the Justice League, I thought it'd be neat to introduce some new characters, kind of like the old Legion, I guess, did, and have one of them turn bad after they've been with them for a while. Something happens, all of a sudden they turn bad, or they were a plant, Wolverine was in the Ultimate X-Men,
right. Yeah.
Something like that. But I don't, since we're already a third of the way through this story, right, there's really not enough time to build up to that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think it'd be cool. cool if it was Prometheus, a la Grant Morrison's, what is it, Justice League for a Day?
Yeah.
When he introduced the character?
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be neat, but again, I think just the format there with Johns and Lee being on for the first arc as opposed to... That, I guess that's part of my problem with everything having to be in arcs, nice where if you could just tell a story and let it just go on, not necessarily the story go on for a while, but, you know, like Claremont used to do with the X-Men, it wasn't necessarily story arcs, it was just the story continued, some ended, some continued. Yeah.
And the one thing I do like, you know, people say, why is Cyborg on the team? I think Johns has done a really...
Matt would tell you. Oh, sorry.
And a really interesting way of giving you a good reason, because the Justice League are the A-team, the best of the best, but... It seems very clear that what Johns is going to do is tie Cyborg's origin as a hero to the Justice League's formation. So it's like you have all the super powerful guys and, you know, something is going to, I think, fall into place with Cyborg coming into existence as a hero with the Justice League formation. And then you have your kind of ground level, you know, point of reference character that looks up and is like, why am I here with all these guys?
He represents the reader.
Yeah, one, I guess also the fact that playing him up as a teenager, there's no reason that he couldn't then move on to the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Was saying that that was obviously meant the Teen Titans never happened. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Right, it could just be that he's with the Justice League for the first few adventures and then... You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Colin, you mentioned that you may not have tied the relaunch to this book. You may not have made that the flagship title. Do you mean that you would have done Justice League differently, or is there another book that you had in mind?
No, but it was so much, it was bringing all these new people in. Here's the first book out of the, and you read it, and it's quite literally part of a story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Superman number one was much more a complete story that was going to continue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Justice League was so much chapter one.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people were like, that's it? That's the whole story?
If you could have done kind of a done-in-one, here's how the League came together.
Yeah, not necessarily any other book, but I just don't know if that...
Right. Mm-hmm. Because I do think it's very important that Justice League be the flagship book for the whole line.
Mm. But I just don't... And it wasn't a bad book, but it was just far too much set up for a...
It's like you said,
the new DC.
It was part one as opposed to here's a complete issue story.
Yeah, and not even complete, but it didn't even introduce all the characters.
I think that's not my issue with it. I like Justice League number two, and I thought it was good. I liked it as much as I like Justice League number one, but this is John's usual writing style, like we said. You know, it's part something of something else. As the flagship book, I think it's good, but again, like you said, with all, you know, you want to have all those characters in the issue. You know, the whole Justice League was on the cover of issue number one. I didn't really expect to see them all, but we only saw not even half of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, issue number two, we're getting closer, but we're still missing Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and I'm hoping that those introductions...
Not yet.
That's issue three.
Okay.
I'm hoping that those introductions aren't rushed, I guess, because, you know, Azarello's doing his thing in Wonder Woman, but there's not really a whole lot of context for how she's a part of this new superhero universe, and I'm wondering if Johns is going to tackle that, or if they're just not going to worry about it at all, or, you know, how that's going to go. So I guess the way I see it is it's a usual Johns story that may or may not read better in trade, depending upon how much you like John's writing, which is kind of waning for me in recent months. I'm not as big a fan as I was of him, but, you know, I'm still going to stick around to see what he does with it because it's the first Justice League story arc.
I do feel, though, at least in Justice League, that even though it's a part one of story, it's very dense.
Yeah.
Like, even though, like, story pages, mm-hmm. it wasn't quite as much, like, it feels like you read a lot.
Yeah, he does a lot of fun stuff in this book versus, like, what he's doing in Aquaman, which the first issue of that was all character building.
Right.
So, it's just, I think it's the difference in the style of, he knows what audience he's writing the book for, and this is definitely, okay.
No, I'm laughing because I have some issues with Aquaman, too, but they're the most bizarre issues that I never thought I'd have.
Okay.
I have a problem.
It's worse than I.
Oh, it's horrible. It's a problem with two balloon placements. And a sound effect. So yeah, I
never... give it a negative review. Based
No. The book was fine. It's just these little things just bug me. And after you guys read it, or you know, we'll talk about it next week.
Colin is a much more astute reader than all of us.
Man,
so you're not just looking at eyes this week.
No, well, the one thing was it was a very common saying that the balloons went backwards.
Yeah.
Mm.
Instead of the guy saying "My God," it said "God" on the first panel and "My" on the second. I'm just going.
So is that a misprint thing?
I don't know.
Maybe it was a Spanish translation. Oftentimes those are...
that could be. And then the bad guys make the sound effect that I can't. It doesn't make sense.
All right.
I'm sure that was just a distraction, though, because I'm sure all the characters' eyes, like,
yeah, they probably were.
The other one was aiming sideways.
That's why I just started laughing when you mentioned Aquaman, just because I started laughing.
Imagine walking into the shop half awake before you even, like, have a chance to figure anything out.
And I had costume.
Look at this in Aquaman number 2. What does this mean?
I was like, wait, just waking up at 11 o'clock? I don't really feel that bad for you.
But I was like, it's like, it's a sound effect. Like, but you read those?
Oh, you know what? I think I know what you're talking about. There's a lot of word balloon sound effects where it's meant to be like a grunt, but it's like two letters. Like, I think I saw in one of these. Like two G's.
I was offended by that. No, but you'll see.
Not only do I read the sound effects, I actually try to sound them out.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The best that I can.
There was a really cool take on that in Howard Chaykin's American Flag, where Reuben Flagg's shooting a machine gun, and the sound effect coming out of the machine gun is... Papa mau mau, Papa mau.
I think Justice League is good. I think it's going to be great in John's hands. I really want to see where he's taking this whole New Gods thing, considering that Morrison's already stated that he's going to go back to the New Gods during Multiversity, which is going to come out who knows when. But I'm wondering if, you know, Morrison is so loyal to Kirby's original version, are we going to have two different versions of New Gods now? Because John's already said in New York, he said that his version of Darkseid isn't going to have, like, boots and a skirt.
Right.
Mm. You know,
just a design element.
Yeah, they're changing the design element, but I guess it's just one of those we don't know things.
Maybe something will happen in this that he'll want to wear a skirt for Morrison.
Right, exactly.
Have you guys ever heard the rumor of what Grant Morrison wanted to do with the New Gods in Final Crisis?
To kill
Batman and kill Martian Manhunter and have them start the next version of the New Gods,
the Fifth World.
Yeah,
he kind of did that a little bit with Batman. I mean, he basically made Batman an Orion analog for his whole Batman run.
Was the thing? Heroes die. What was the whole thing? And then
heroes live, heroes die, but legends live forever.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Ooh, you give me chills right there. But Martian Manhunter, that would have been perfect. He died in Final Crisis as well.
Well, that was the whole thing. In Final Crisis, they were supposed to die, and then they got cold feet.
What if all seven members of the Justice League would have died in Final Crisis? Totally would have changed that.
We'd all be sitting here complaining that he was aping Alan Moore's Twilight of the Gods.
Oh, right, exactly.
Whoa. Old school.
You should read that treatment for that story. If no one has read that, it's basically what Kingdom Come became.
Did that ever come out?
No.
Alan Moore's story? No. But
it got kind of sort of reworked as Kingdom Come.
Oh, really?
Not to the level that Moore's treatment put it at. I don't know that it would have been possible for DC to publish
Twilight
of the Gods the way Alan Moore intended. No. Yeah. It's one of those I don't know that you could come back from.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of stuff happened in it?
It was...
give me a taste.
It was his kind of, like, here's what the last story for the DC Universe would be, or the last story based on, you know, almost whatever happened to the DC Universe, where in the future, Superman has his family and Captain Marvel has his family.
They literally ascend to godhood.
Basically. They take over the planet, and the planet is divided between Superman's family and Captain Marvel's family. And to avoid any infighting, they decide that they're going to marry, was it Supergirl to Captain Marvel Jr., I think?
Oh, wow.
But this whole thing revolves around some subplot with John Constantine needing to avert them from having a war with each other.
Yeah.
And it's it ends up kind of being more of a character study of John Constantine than of what else is going on. But
how interesting.
Go look it up online. There's a couple different sites that have the treatment up, and it's Moore's actual treatment. And if you've ever read a Moore, an Alan Moore script, it's oh my god. It's just like 30 pages of all caps. Like, his treatment for, or his script for Killing Joke spent like 10 pages just describing the meaning of the puddle on the first page. So, it's really interesting reading.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys ever read Super Folks, the novel?
I have not, but I've heard so many things about it, and it's on my Christmas list, so maybe soon.
Okay, point taken. Jeez.
You had it handy.
I do. That? It's really good. That's like the somewhere between Kingdom Come and Watchmen novel before both.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
It's
1977, and it's the story of a superhero who gives up being a superhero, and he gets married and moves to the suburbs, and you know, everything goes wrong, and he's got to get back in the saddle again. It's the again, Watchmen and Incredibles, like all those things sort of borrow from this.
Is that pre Miracle Man even?
77. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That was early mid 80s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a novel, so that's what makes it kind of, you know, doesn't get all the play.
Oh, okay.
I think Morrison mentions it in his book. I think that's how I found out about it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The quotes on the back are, you know, are Busiek and Morrison, and it's got a lot of, you know, different things. It boasts the fact that there are three ages of superhero comics: Action One, Fantastic One, and this book.
Oh, wow. Wait, so in the book, it describes itself as beginning the next age of superheroes?
Yeah, I mean, it's thematically all the things that are the third age of superheroes, or actually fourth, or however you want to look at it. You know, it perceives all those things that are classically known as that.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends if the authors that wrote the books that are credited with that read this mm-hmm. or not. But it just doesn't get that much historical play, but it's good. It's really good.
Since it's not a comic, it doesn't get a lot of historical play. But, I mean, clearly, it must have influenced Alan Moore and the other writers of the time.
Alan Moore is really, really good at saying that he never reads anything or watches anything, but yet drops pop culture references all over the place.
Mm.
Yeah, he says he doesn't watch TV or, you know, go to movies, and then you read, like, Top 10, and you're like, yes, you do.
Well, maybe maybe he's just that good at analyzing the cultural zeitgeist and writing to what's popular at the time that other writers are tapping into as well.
That he gets, like, specific Simpsons references before they even write the episode. That's possible. Right. I mean, that's zeitgeisty to a new level, but I think it's just that he, you know, wants to be better than everyone else, and, you know, he just claims that he's doing magic in Essex, when, in fact, he's probably chewing, you know, popcorn and watching TV.
Wouldn't that just be how it is? You know, Alan Moore sitting there watching, like, Big Brother on TV. The bowl of ice cream.
He puts on a fake beard and goes street magic, and then
fuzzy bunny slippers.
He's the real Alan Moore. Maybe that's part of the street magic. I don't know.
Maybe.
I think I've ever heard Alan Moore and Fuzzy Pink Bunny Slippers in the same sentence before.
If he didn't have that beard, would you ever know it was him?
No.
I don't think I've ever seen a picture of him without the beard.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. Yeah.
There's that one picture that pops up, that used to pop up in Wizard magazine. I can't think of any other famous pictures of him, even.
The first time I saw a picture of Alan Moore was when I bought Watchmen, and I looked at the back to see, like, oh, who wrote this? And I was like, oh, the Unabomber wrote this. Wonderful. Great.
Charles Manson.
Rob Zombie?
It's the follow-up to the Manifesto.
Right.
Ted Kaczynski didn't really have a lot of...
Don't know where to go from there, Brian. Look at me like I don't know how to segue out of Unabomber. I'm sorry. I'm stuck.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
And speaking of Unabomber,
Fear Itself.
What about Catwoman? Fear Itself. Nice. Yeah,
that's actually a pretty good segue.
Peter.
Oh, hey, I have a joke for you guys. Listen to this. This kid...
Clean podcast.
Okay. This kid was walking down the street. Stop me if you've heard this one. This kid was walking down the street, finds a magic lamp, rubs it, a genie comes out, appears. Hey, I'm a genie. I'll grant you three wishes. The kid wishes to be like Batman for his first wish. The genie kills his parents.
That's awful. In a very hilarious way, that's awful.
Try to segue. Yeah.
That was the segue.
That was the segue.
Year one came
suddenly
out
Fear Itself. Year Bomber is looking pretty good.
Mine's coming in the mail.
Right. I'm eager to see what aspects of the original Year One story they preserved.
I heard everything.
Yeah. Oh, really? It was good.
Yeah?
Well, the animated movie?
Yeah.
It's pretty spot on. I mean,
yeah.
The only thing disappointing in it is that it's like pretty spot on.
Yeah. Actually, I know what you mean, Nick.
I mean, I love it. It's like a, you know, I mean, it's not for me, but I mean, I have the comic, and I've had the comic for a long time, and I prefer Year One over Dark Knight Returns.
As do I.
Yeah, I could reread that one much more than I can actually reread Dark Knight.
I will say, from the non-comic book fan perspective, my fiance watched it with me, and she started watching it just like reading a magazine, whatever, and after about 10 minutes, she was drawn in. Oh, yeah. And when it was done, she was like, wow, that was really good. Mm. So she thought it was, you know, much better than she was expecting.
Was it in the same art style as David Mazzucchelli?
Yeah, the art's amazing. And it fits in the world of a Christopher Nolan Batman fan. Like, if somebody said they liked the movies, then that would be something that would be logical to go next to.
Yeah, that's what I tell a lot of people, too, where to jump in if they like the movies.
Uh-huh. And what do you tell them?
I like Batman Year One.
Uh-huh. Cool. What else?
Long Halloween.
No.
No, I always mention Long Halloween, actually, is one.
Oh, nice one.
There's a lot of stuff that they use for the Dark Knight.
You are exactly right.
Yeah. So I always tell them, go for those two. But I right after the podcast last week, I went to Walmart to get Year One, because we were talking about it then, too.
Uh-huh.
And they were sold out. They didn't have any, which I thought was kind of odd, because it's kind of a select audience.
Right.
So, actually, that turned me away totally from going to Walmart to get any movies at once. I'm having too much just bad luck
Walmart,
with it.
Period.
So, okay. I decided just to order everything. So, mine's on order, so I'm waiting for it to come, including Captain America, which you can get a pretty good deal on Amazon right now to get the 3D Blu-ray. And you can get that with the actual Blu-ray and DVD, so it's like it's $2 less than getting the Blu-ray, so that was kind of cool.
I support the idea
unless
of buying
you don't
DVDs
have a
3D, over Amazon.
I do too.
3D TV.
Yeah.
I want to. I got to get Captain America, but I also want to get the People versus George Lucas.
No, I thought you were going to say Larry.
But even if you don't have a 3D Blu-ray, though, it's a good price.
That
one day you will.
What?
So.
Are you familiar with that documentary that comes out today, or yesterday?
No. I heard about it, but I don't know much about it.
It's a documentary about Star Wars fans that are, you know, biting the hand that feeds them, because the hand that feeds them is completely insane.
Yes.
And he creates metachlorites and Jar Jar Binks and the inserting the word no too much.
No!
It's fans that are angry at George Lucas. It's really strange.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other, I would say there's no other movie fandom, or fandom in general, well, I didn't, you know, family in general, but that just despise some of the choices that are being made.
I don't know, we comic book fans are pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's like love-hate in such a pure way.
Although we never bite the hand that feeds us, because we shell out our wads of cash every month and still complain.
Yeah.
Well, I slept in a parking lot for Phantom Menace. So
as did I.
I'm angry, you know, for justifiably.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Video game news. I bought Arkham City. I haven't unwrapped it yet, but I bought it. So
I haven't had time. I've been sick, and then I have stuff at work, so I only got like two Mr. Freeze. So that's about it.
I feel like I'm avoiding the internet now, because when I went on Facebook there last week, you know, every time Shane posted a status, he'd be like, "All right, in Arkham City, this happened tonight." No, scroll away.
No.
And then, you know, some of my other friends that have it have been commenting about it, so I'm trying to avoid spoilerage until I get a copy of it, which I don't know when that's going to be.
No. The one thing that I like and I also hate about it, it's just such a big game. But it's cool that it's like that. But there's so much going on. That there's so many little side missions that you can be. Like there's
Victor Zsasz.
What is it?
I said almost overwhelming.
Yeah, just a little bit. Like I ran into some guy. He's on top of this Ferris wheel in Gotham City. And I'm like, who is this guy? Like, and he's like, follow me. And I'm like, I don't even know where you went. So
okay.
I gave up. Yeah, he looks like Azrael, but I don't think that's who he
is. Azrael, that's going to be my character that I talk about when we talk about who's been nixed from continuity.
Yeah, I never thought of him.
Okay, well, we got to get to one other thing first.
Yeah.
So we can't be all DC.
Yeah, but so. If you're going into what I think you're going into, then you're not going to win here.
I'm just setting it up. I'm not going to. I can't really comment on it once.
As long as it's how bad it is.
Yes. So how Fear Itself wrapped up.
Oh, Fear Itself.
We had number 7 came out last week. I was going to have everybody read it last week and talk about it, but I figured I needed a week to kind of mull it over.
A week to forget about it?
Mulling hasn't gone well, and I just kind of want to get everybody else's opinions. I just felt it was a big letdown. Just nothing happened. Everything happened off screen. There was so much buildup, and I've been reading stuff online where people saying, like, oh, but don't you understand that it was the citizens rallying behind Cap weakened the serpent and all this stuff?
No.
And I'm going, but you can't, you got to put that in there. There was so much that should have been in there that wasn't. Like the fact that fear was permeating and that brought the serpent to power, they never explained that. Just all of a sudden hammers dropped. And then after all the hammers dropped, they couldn't be beaten. And then all of a sudden Iron Man shows up. Like a couple pages in, gives everybody their weapons. We had a solid 2 pages of fighting.
Well, that
and then they
that.
Won. I don't.
But after
get
7
it.
Issues, the serpent wasn't even a well developed enough villain.
Oh, not at all. No.
Yeah.
He broke Cap's shield.
Best thing I can say about it is that
those are all the epilogues.
Yeah,
going through the epilogues right now because I remember the thing that stood out to me is that it set up the next round of stories. The same way the end of World War Hulk set up the next round of stories following it. The same way the end of Civil War set up the next round of stories following it. And I think it went out on a good note. You know, it set up the Hulk, the thing that possessed the Hulk as a villain.
Right, but let's not take these. Let's take it at... Sorry.
You're going to say take it at the end
take
of this.
Take it at the end of this, and it's like, what?
Isn't this last panel the same thing they had at the end of House of M? It's the Earth and that light up on Alaska? Like, that's the same
thing. It should be
except
end
the light up on Alaska had a point.
But,
because
but
that's
the thing,
little
things like this. She's already free, so nothing happened with her.
But that's it, Colin. The epilogues are what makes the story have resonance. If we looked at the end as the end, it means nothing.
But they're not
these little epilogues. They should mean something.
But these epilogues mean that this story does continue. This story
does
keep going.
But the epilogues are just setting up the next 4 miniseries spinning out of this.
This seems to be a big thing with Marvel. Because none of their stories actually end.
Like, when did this happen?
They just keep going.
Here's
on
my question.
And on and on.
When did this happen?
This Hulk. Okay, so at the end of Fear Itself, we're doing spoilers now, right?
Sure.
Okay, at the end of Fear Itself, Hulk and Bruce Banner have a conversation inside their mind, and then the Hulk has somehow found a way to separate himself from Banner. The epilogue ends with Hulk and Banner parting ways in the desert, two separate entities, two separate beings. Totally sets up the Jason Aaron run, and something tells me if I didn't read this, I would have been missing something jumping into that Jason Aaron run.
Nope.
No, you wouldn't.
No,
but
no.
I have to agree with Hulk. I didn't really like Banner either.
Oh right, but
but see, here's my argument to that, Joe. If you hadn't read Hulk versus Dracula, you'd be sitting there going, well, wait a second. Hulk had a hammer. He was a fearless. What happened?
Well, all the hammers got destroyed in the clear
two-page
battle scene.
They didn't really get destroyed, though.
That's why we have the fearless.
One, yeah, and they on that epilogue, the fearless, it has the hammer and like some sort of container of some sort.
On a side note, in Greg Pak's last issue of the Hulk, there was a really cool ending where, with a wink and a nod to the camera, to the reader, Banner admitted that he was in control of the Hulk all along.
There go the hammers. Yeah. See, they're all flying away.
Aww. Did you read that, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I'm asking you because you're the Hulk expert here. What'd you think of that?
No, it was good. I loved the end of Pax Run. Yeah. It was like, it was set up kind of a happily ever after ending, and then it's like you get to this, and...
You know what? It doesn't matter. It's no. coming. It's coming.
What's coming?
It's coming.
It's, it's coming. It is right. coming.
Who cares about what we just spent our money on?
Right.
We did figure out what it is.
You know, the problem, like, this point one thing is basically an epilogue like this.
Yeah.
It's seven little four and five page stories, just like the epilogue in Fear itself. So it's like everything they have now is setting up.
You know, the really funny thing with Fear Itself 7 is we've graduated from having the previews just tacked on at the end of the book to somebody said, hey, we can put those same previews as part of the story and then, you know, make it double sized. I'm sorry, my cynicism knows no bounds with this.
I don't know, it's coming.
Yes, it is. Wait till you read point one, then you'll see what it is.
Being someone that hasn't read Fear Itself and doesn't read...
What?
I know, right?
How could you not read Fear Itself?
I slap myself every night.
Well, we'll get you those issues.
Oh, boy.
We could sum it up for you. Cap gets a scratch on his shield.
That's what I heard. And
Bucky dies.
That happened off screen.
But that's
and
my...
Thor dies from you don't know what? Why.
Yeah, exactly. And
a prophecy.
A prophecy.
He was prophesied to die, so he died.
I guess that's my question from this event is that, you know, I do keep up with the Marvel events as they happen. I read about them online, but you know, the biggest things coming out of this I heard is that Tony Stark's an alcoholic again. And Captain America, like you said, got a scratch on his shield. And Bucky maybe died, and Thor maybe died. But I know that death is not permanent in comics, no matter how many times people say it is. And I'm pretty sure someone's going to buff out that scratch.
I'm pretty sure that the serpent did the five-point exploding heart.
Yeah. It shows character.
Palm technique on Thor. Some,
an Inker will get a hold of it and erase that pencil line.
Yeah. Like,
that's how Wolverine lost the whiskers off his mask. An Inker misunderstood.
And a cigar.
As soon as I read that Thor died online, I thought, you know, this story sounded really similar to the Norse Ragnarok myth, but out of everything to take from Ragnarok, it seems like that's the only thing that they took.
Well, not to mention, this is like the fourth time Ragnarok's hit Marvel's Asgard.
Exactly, yeah. And that also blows my mind. I guess
Avengers Disassembled was the last Ragnarok we got.
Yeah, yeah. And that was...
And didn't they call it
7 years
wasn't
in the
that
making?
The name of the Thor clone?
That was Secret Invasion.
I guess my thought as a non-Marvel reader is just kind of like, okay. And then business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Whatever. Which seems to be the consensus for a lot of you guys.
But the thing away from a Marvel event is there's another Marvel event coming.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I will say, teaser for next week, it does get better. There is a glimmer of hope because Wolverine and the X-Men was fantastic.
But it doesn't spin out of that.
But Marvel has hope.
One of the best things I read, I don't remember where it was. It was a link through Brian Hibb's Savage Critics review of it. Was somebody did the missing scene, which was perfect. It was the Thing returning to talk to Reed Richards, and everybody going, well, what happened? We saw Thor put his hammer through you. Oh, well, I got better. Well, what happened? Well, Franklin fixed me. Wait a minute. Franklin brought you back from the dead and fixed you? Well, yeah, his powers are back. So you mean he could have stopped all this and kept everyone, including Thor, from dying? Oh, well, yeah, but...
Then he wouldn't be a Deus Machina. He would be a valuable character.
Right. So it was interesting. It's just, you know, and then where was the Thing for those last three issues or whatever?
He's very sad, though.
I mean, granted, he was with the New Avengers, I understand. But, yeah, it felt very... One, very forced, and two, not well done. It had all the right beats, but it didn't have any emotion, didn't have anything, you know, like it didn't build up the fear. It didn't build up that the hope brought down the serpent. It may have been things they wanted you to get that, but it wasn't really presented on the screen or on the page.
It seems to have that same Marvel formula that they've been having for a while, that the beginning is a lot of build up. Then it starts to get good, and then right at the last issue, it's just like a real letdown.
Yeah.
And it's been like that for many of their events.
Yeah, and here I'm just looking, what page is this? It's near the end of number 7. Yes, third to last page. you have the Red Hulk standing with all the Avengers.
Yeah, I questioned that too.
And I remember in that one Avengers Fear Itself issue, it was Thor versus, or no, it was Hulk versus, or no, who would he, who's Hulk the fighting? The Thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Hulk got hit or something, and they said, and we never saw him again.
Yeah.
And this was supposedly, this was one of the interviews taking right. place after Fear Itself.
Right there.
In the preview for Avenging Spider-Man number one, Red Hulk is on the Avengers team.
Yeah, so it just, all these little things.
What did you think of that preview?
I liked it.
Yeah, what did you like about it?
It was fun.
Yeah? Joe Madd's artwork's pretty cool.
It's good. I'm not a big fan, but I mean, that I just brought that up as sort of, you know, like you said, they said they never saw him again, but yeah. then apparently they did a lot.
Something else I was reading online was kind of interesting, where it was talking about they do these, the creative summits, mm-hmm. and they come up with the idea, and everybody, okay, we need to have these, and like I think they set up the beats, they right. set up the thing, and probably came to Fraction, hey, Fraction, you're writing Thor, you write this, yeah. and we'll tie all the books into it and everything, and it's almost like, okay, that formula's not worked, you've beaten it to death.
Mm-hmm.
I understand getting together for the summits, planning out what you want to do, but I'd so much rather it have be a natural flow
right.
Than as to now where everything, okay, in this arc, no, not yeah. not arcs. I mean, I kind of miss the Claremont stories going along.
Right.
Or, you know.
Did the tie-ins for this interrupt usual series, or were they like extra series like Flashpoint had? Like,
no, this totally derailed
yeah.
all the books.
I can understand how
so
that
all of a sudden
issue.
Now the last seven Invincible Iron Mans have right. been Fear Itself tie-ins. Avengers has been completely disrupted.
Which really is hurting. I'm going to say it's going to hurt Iron Man, because like I'm even thinking about dropping it, mainly because they had something going for it that had nothing to do with Fear Itself. It jumps into Fear Itself, but the characters that they were using, like Hammer and all that, were in there. It didn't really make any sense of why they needed to be in there. It was just, you know, yeah. there.
And the other, one other thing, like with, especially with Iron Man, is I remember reading something where they're saying, well, you know, you're not an alcoholic. You don't understand what a sacrifice he made giving up his sobriety and stuff. And then I'm like, oh, man. So you mean the follow-up issues are going to be Tony Stark as an alcoholic dealing yeah. with his alcoholism? Yeah, no, thank you.
That happened.
Pass. I don't want. Well, not only did it happen, I don't want to read that.
Yeah.
I'm not an alcoholic. I don't care.
I said that 6 months ago and I got, or yeah. 2 months ago and I got railed on.
Don't talk bad about Marvel, man.
Yeah.
Listen.
Jeez.
But yeah, just overall, the book didn't do anything for me. The prequel things at the end.
The only thing that explained, the Hulk one explains who that guy is.
It does, but it
because
makes me,
we
well,
were wondering, what
that
is
guy
Avengers?
Is the weird face that's on the cover of the Defenders,
yeah,
where it's
which they
null
really
or whatever.
Drag that face into the ground,
right?
Here
yeah,
he
same
is.
Yeah.
Same
here he
yeah.
is. Same on the cover.
But then my question is, okay, is this Hulk that's run yeah. that's going into the Defenders and looking for help? Is that the same Savage Hulk that we just read in the new Incredible Hulk, who lives underground with the Moloids? Or
how many Hulks are there?
Exactly, how many Hulks are there? And it actually makes me.
Yeah.
It makes me not want to read Defenders, where I before was very excited about it. Mm-hmm. If it's just a Fear Itself continuation, pass.
Yeah.
I have no interest
and that's
in
what
that.
It seems to be, being that this guy is the, what did
yeah.
they call him?
And this
the
one here,
Burger.
Battle Scars, don't care. Oh, here's a new character that you don't know who's the biggest threat to the Marvel Universe.
And the,
okay.
And the
yeah.
characters that they
the only
have
way
in
we're going to make it sell is to make him so important to
yes.
our story that you can't not read it.
And he's yeah. He's military, so he has to be, you know, important and revered.
The only story right now that I'm kind of interested in is that, and I'm just mainly because I'm a big Norman Osborn fan, is this stuff that's going on with Norman Osborn and Hammer. I'm interested in that. The only thing is, that last Avengers issue that was kind of after mm-hmm. Fear Itself, I thought it was horrible.
You mean and, the issue that was supposed to set up the new team and you
yeah.
finish it? And
yeah,
no
they
new
didn't
team.
Do anything to
the
set
problem
up a new team.
I have with that issue, though, is it's the same Avengers issue we always have after an event. It's they meet up at the end, they decide, oh, we had issues and now we have to reform an Avengers team. And that's it. It's the same as after Siege. It's the same as after all.
Kind of makes you want to take Simon Williams' side from the
yeah,
Avengers annual. It's like,
and maybe that's what it's leading up to. Maybe it's leading up that, hey, you're doing this all, you know. I'm kind of interested in the Revengers.
Revenger, yeah. So, one of my problems with it was clearly post Fear Itself, because they're, you know, they've looking at the damage. How are we going to rebuild this thing? Yet no one made a comment about Thor. Everybody was laughing it up and having fun at the Avengers Mansion.
Except for Thang, like, he was kind of sad.
Yeah, but well, he was apologetic. Yeah. But it was just we just you know beat. Now I realize we're going to get the funeral of Thor in 7.1 or 2 or 3 or whatever. But
one of
you know,
points.
It's just so many things that should have happened. Oh well, we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. That's coming later. Like New Avengers has already been done with Fear Itself for I think 2 months. Where it had that issue where Daredevil looks at Luke Cage and goes, yeah, whatever happened with that German thing? It's like...
Cap never acknowledged it, which has made Cap
yes,
feel kind of
very
odd.
Weird. Yeah.
With Thor German didn't thing. Acknowledge it, which made Thor
the
feel odd.
The Nazis attacking Manhattan. And he's just like, yeah, whatever happened with that? It's like, weren't you there? I'm pretty sure I saw an issue where you were fighting them. So just, yeah, everybody hasn't been on the same page. And a 7-issue event affecting the entire Marvel Universe is too long. It's too long.
Thankfully, the X-Men stay out of this.
Yeah, but they always do. Yeah, we talked about that before, where the X-Men always do. The Fantastic Four always do.
They get a miniseries or a one-shot, you know, that says, like, oh, look, we did this thing. or, like, you know, they fought Juggernaut. It was so self-contained. I was so happy.
I have to say, though, after reading that Wolverine today, I do have high hopes for the X-Men franchise.
You're talking about Wolverine and
the X-Men? Yeah, Wolverine
yeah, it was
and
a fun
X-Men.
Book.
You liked it?
Yeah.
We get Uncanny X-Men next
if
week.
If you're at all a fan of Claremont X-Men, pick it up.
Interesting.
I think we do. No, I'm getting confused.
Uncanny is, next week, I think.
I think. I don't remember.
This is Wolverine starting his own school.
Yes.
Okay. At I just
all.
Can't see that.
It was and, a lot of
but
fun.
It's, but it's exactly... What you would think would happen if Wolverine decided to run a school, like right. Comedy of Errors.
Very interesting.
Okay, now one thing Nick wanted to talk about, or at least discuss amongst us, was current DC and what in continuity is still there. What isn't, what is, what do we hope is there, what do we not mind seeing gone? I don't mind that Roy Harper has never lost his arm and tried to kill people with a cat.
I'm okay with that.
I would like it if Batman Nightfall was still in continuity and Azrael still existed.
I don't think Nightfall is not.
John Paul Valley, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I think the
didn't
only thing
die?
That's out of that is...
John Paul Valley? Yeah. I think he did.
The most recent Azrael was somebody else.
Yeah. I think overall, I mean, I don't think they're ever going to come out and say specifically because that would be just far too much of a task to say this isn't.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Done it before.
Well, I think a really interesting
Zero
way.
Hour they did it.
Yeah, well, I think a really interesting way to tackle what they're doing with this though is, Batwoman number 2 came out. Was that last week or mm-hmm. the week before? And Batwoman is talking to her. Sidekick, Bette, which I heard J.H. Williams pronounce it Bette, so it must be Bette. But she was asking what Batman wanted to talk to Batwoman about, and she said that Batman invited her to join Batman Inc.
Yeah.
And while she's describing what Batman Inc. is, you get this cool double-page spread of all these members of Batman Inc. But, you know, this book was completed months ago because the book was supposed to launch back in April or February. So I thought it very interesting that out of that spread, some of the characters are wrapped in lightning and kind of faded out to show that those characters don't apply because of Flashpoint. And those characters were Dick Grayson as Batman and Azrael, Jean-Paul Valley. Mm. And I think there was one other one. I don't think it's Jean-Paul Valley.
I think it was the...
Yeah,
the
that's...
Newer. Well, you know, that's very true. It could have been the David Hine. That's right, because... Yes. You're right, because Jean-Paul Valley had died, but...
He died in the early
2000s. Right. You're right. Like a ghost, almost.
Yeah, it's Azrael, Red Robin, Dick Grayson, Batman, and I believe that's Lady Blackhawk.
That is Lady Blackhawk.
So, I think that's an interesting way for them to go about... You know, you get a wink and a nudge to the people who know who those characters are, and, you know, everybody else will just kind of think, oh, that's strange, why not, and then just kind of move on. But
so that version of Red Robin, I mean, obviously Tim Drake is Red Robin right now, but that version of Red Robin,
right.
They're
and,
kind of saying that
with,
didn't exist.
With Dick Grayson Batman, which I assume that's Dick Grayson Batman because there's another Batman on the next page,
right.
I assume that's kind of their nod to saying that he was Batman for a time, or he still was Batman for a time, but then is now Nightwing.
The only thing is he doesn't have the Batman logo on his chest that he did before Flashpoint. That's Bruce.
Bruce had a different logo for Flashpoint, but
maybe they just left that out.
I'm gonna chalk that up to an art thing, but I think they're doing okay with the continuity.
Oh, there's another guy.
The problem still exists, like we were saying, that they're not nailing anything down. And for people who have read the old continuity for so long, it gets kind of hinky when you're reading and thinking, wait, didn't that happen? Oh, wait, this is a completely new universe. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was sitting there looking at the shelf as you were saying that, and the one that really jumped into my brain is Kyle Rayner.
Oh, isn't it nice that he's still around?
Well, but issue number one gives us his origin.
Yeah.
Great recap of Kyle Rayner's origin. Kyle Rayner intact. But then you think, why did we get Kyle Rayner? Because Hal went crazy and destroyed the core. Why did Hal go crazy and destroy the core? Because Coast City was destroyed. Why was Coast City destroyed? Because Mongol tried to do a war world.
Yeah.
You know, all the way back to Death of Superman.
Cyborg Superman, who only got to be where he was because Superman had died.
Right. So,
and even before that, because...
Well, I think they said that happened.
Yeah, okay. Superman mentioned that he died in Swamp Thing number one. He told Alec Holland that he knew what it was like to die and come back.
Yeah.
But it's still... interviews, Jeff Johns has said that Kyle Rayner has only been Green Lantern for... Or, I'm sorry, has been a Green Lantern for 2 years.
Right.
So, you've got his history of a Green Lantern, and, you know, you've got... I don't know. When you start looking at the years, it gets... crazy.
Yes. I think they would have been better off never to put a time stamp on any of this. Like, you know, Batman has existed for 5 years, or 5 years seems to be this, like, magic number they're using.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. I mean, in the old DCU, how many years would it have made sense for Superman and Batman
to have
been in operation?
10 years. They always kind of said the ballpark is that Batman and Superman have been around for about 10 years.
I'd say 20, because anytime you've been doing something for 20 years, you're an expert. Like, if you've been reading comics for 20 years, you are an expert.
Right, but they don't want 40-year-old heroes. I think that's where their problem comes.
They wanted late 20s, early 30s, because
you're just trying to call yourself an expert.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, one would be able to describe themselves as a veteran if they've been doing something 20 years.
But it was like Batman, Bruce was, like, late 20s, early 30s, Dick was, like, 1920, and then you could do the ages backwards from there.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I'm really liking that they've changed about a character is I like that they de-aged Gordon. Obviously, I know they de-aged him so he'd look more like Gary Oldman in Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. I'm fine with that. Because, you know, in the past continuity, Gordon was already old enough that he had retired from being commissioner and was just kind of living by himself. He'd been married twice. He came back to being commissioner, but, you know, in the sliding time, even with the sliding timeline, you think this guy's, like, if he was old enough to retire and then come back to his job, he's old. You know, like, he shouldn't
be. Police officers do have the option to retire after 20 years with 75% benefits, or after 25 years. Wait, 20 years, 75%, 25 years, 100% pension.
Joe F. Police pension veteran.
No, that's not a lie.
That's
not a lie.
That's very interesting. Yeah,
it's just a wealth of useless knowledge.
I was just saying, I didn't expect you to bring that knowledge on. But so I'm glad that they did that because you can have more story possibilities with Jim Gordon that way. However, another character that they changed that I'm disappointed about is Booster Gold has lost everything about being Booster Gold that I liked in Booster Gold.
Agreed.
He just seems like this kind of blank vanilla type character now who is just kind of there. You know, he wants to be a superhero, but he doesn't really seem to have any need or any sort of motivation. He's just there. You know, we know that he's done the advertising like the previous version, but he's not really snarky. He's not really funny. He's not really...
Especially when Flashpoint almost made it sound...
Was writing that?
Yeah.
Because Flashpoint almost made it feel like Booster Gold was going to be the one character.
Yeah, who was that? The Time Trapper?
Special.
Yeah, that he was going to be—he was going to be the analog to like, what's her name in Crisis? Like, you know, the character that knows
Harbinger.
Yeah,
Psycho Pirate. Remember,
right?
Psycho Pirate. That's right. Word is that the woman in the hood is going to be Harbinger.
Really?
Way to go, Joe.
That's a cool sound effect. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
It's called Joe sat on his keys.
That's me. I make those noises.
But You know, go ahead, Colin.
No, okay. I was just wondering about that whole the whole message board from Booster, where there was all of a sudden they came in at the end of what was it, Time Masters, and everything was written on this board, and at the end of Flashpoint they showed the girl writing all that.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason, it just seemed irrelevant, and I haven't
the
read
Booster Gold comic didn't pan out because they were setting stuff up for years.
Yeah,
and then it just
Black Beetle and nothing.
Well, some of the Demetaeus came back and wrote some of the Booster Gold stuff, and that was great.
But didn't I see like one of the solicits for December or January that the mystery girl from JLI is back? Like, the one that was on the cover and disappeared.
Yeah, she was
in the
Booster Gold run.
I saw something on Bleeding Cool, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I guess she's going to be back in the book. She was the Greek girl from the Flashpoint run, and I guess she's coming back somehow. I didn't, like you said, I saw it on Bleeding Cool. I didn't read it.
You know, I will say, it is fun to find all these crazy continuity holes and try to figure out what they are. But I will also say that it's kind of a fun hobby, but it's not taking away any of my enjoyment.
Oh, no,
it's not.
No. I'm kind of the, Dan DiDio told me, don't worry about it, just read them, so I'm taking his advice.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like I have a one way or the other opinion with almost all the books. Like, with Flash, I really miss Wally West.
Yes.
And I don't know how my life can continue without Wally West being the Flash, but at the same time, I'm really enjoying what they've done with Barry, and he is kind of fun, or at least more fun now than he was when Johns brought him back.
Wait till you read the new one. The art is amazing. It's like he sat down and read everything J.H. Williams has done lately.
That's what
not copying it, but incorporating it. There's a scene on this where the Flash has to go to all these other countries trying to find information, and it's done on one page. And it's all done in his wake as he's running past, and the right side of the page is just him running.
Okay.
And in the back is, the wavy lines of his wake in its spotlight.
He's definitely doing the best art of his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And writing.
But maybe it's the fact that he's writing it, so he's writing it the way he wants. There's a scene, the whole point though of number two is trying to get his brain to work as fast as his body.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's
and
awesome.
There's a scene where that's happening, and he's talking to this girl, and all of a sudden all these things are happening that he's noticing, and it's like overlapping. It's overlapping her word balloons and things like that to show you how distracted he is. But it's just
awesome. It becomes this really cool cause and effect.
Yeah. It was really, really good.
I guess that's my whole, like we said, like the give and take with the new continuity, is that I love where it's going, but at the same time, there are so many discrepancies when you get down to it of them not answering things and not.
Yeah.
I think the best book, like we've been saying for a couple of weeks, the best book to handle the continuity so far is Action, because it just went right back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the point of view of, because I know all the continuity.
Right.
I want it either there or gone.
I agree.
The partial is murder. I mean, and the reason that I brought this up initially with Colin as a topic was, as I read the first issue of the Shade miniseries, and that blew my mind as far as, I don't know how to read this book.
Yeah, because you were talking about,
read it.
You were saying that Robinson brings up his Justice League run.
Well, it's got Mikhail, whatever his name, the blue alien Starman.
Okay.
And he's having a conversation with Shade, and they're talking about, Opal City, and we're talking about all of the O'Dares that were in the original 90s run. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, that continuity's there. If that continuity's there, that means that there's been a couple Starmen going back to the Golden Age. Oh, there was a Golden Age. That means there was a JSA. Well, that doesn't work.
Right.
And then they started dropping stuff about that gorilla friend of yours. And I'm like, oh, boy. So that means
Gorilla Bob?
Gorilla Bob. It's a reference every episode, but
I have a customer drawing us one, so we can use it for the artwork for the podcast.
Well, that's awesome,
sweet. What customer is that?
Eric Sonson.
All right, so, Eric, friend of the podcast.
It's a gorilla, and it's like, all right, you've got references to the, essentially, you really can't have a story with James Robinson and in Opal City with Shade and all these characters, and not have it be reference all the Golden Age stuff. And then he drops his Justice League, so it's like, how can this stuff happen?
Hmm.
I don't know how to read it. Like, when there are two interactions with characters that have known each other for a long period of time, and they're reminiscing and things, it's like, do I read this like they just know each other a little bit, a lot? You know, like, it's just, it's tough.
Well, then you have...
I'm cool with just erasing things.
Well, then you have books like Green Lantern and Legion of Superheroes that both were just literally the next issue.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely no changes.
Hmm. Well, even Batman to a sense. Yeah. Well, not necessarily the next issue, but nothing's really changed. Yeah. Right.
I mean, they just got Nightwing out of the costume and put Bruce in there. With
right, right.
Other than that, it's pretty much the same. And that said, I don't want to, like, say anything bad about Shade, because I actually really liked it. And it's got one of the best, like, last pages of a book I've read in a long time. But it just brought up all this stuff, and it's like, well, this is the first time that they've brought in a character with strong ties to the Golden Age and JSA characters. You know, how do we deal with that?
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Nick, because I read Shade. I loved it. I love Starman. And this Shade read like such a perfect extension of Starman that I was so happy that actually in reading it, it never actually occurred to me, how does this fit in with everything else?
Yeah.
But just because it was so good, I was like, this is Starman.
It's really good. It is Starman. And that's what weirded me out about it. So, like, this all fits. The Opal City.
Yep.
Like, it feels like Opal City. Shade, the voice of Shade is right where he left off. All this stuff is perfect. And I'm like, okay, then how does that world exist outside of, you know,
everything? Yeah.
See, that's my sort of growing problem in the back of my mind now, because from what you're saying about Shade number one is that it doesn't fit in the new continuity, and it doesn't fit in what appears to be their new Earth 2, because they said they're going to give a JSA book, and JSA only exists on Earth 2. But, you know, that either means that this new Earth 2 is actually just the old continuity, or that this Starman book takes place, or this Shade book takes place in a continuity completely separate from the new one and from Earth.
I got one word for you.
Yeah?
Elseworld.
Oh, right, yeah. Exactly. That's a complete possibility.
There, but you know what it reads like?
What's that?
It reads like a miniseries that was written before he knew there was going to be a big flip, and then it reads perfect. I mean, it reads like there's no... I mean, everything is exactly where it left off.
Right.
The Justice League just disbanded. It reads just like that, and I think that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that. The closest thing I can relate to with that is Batwoman. You know, they didn't know the relaunch was going to happen, but that book is great because it picks up right where they left everything off with.
Well, did you see the top of the book?
I'm sorry?
The top of the book for The Shade, right where every other book says The New 52.
Yeah.
It says The Master of Darkness, The Shade. Now, the Penguin didn't have The New 52 either, did it?
I don't think Huntress did either.
No, it shouldn't.
So it must be miniseries.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, because it's not counted in the 52.
Right. But it's 12 issues. I mean, it's...
That's
the way he
series,
writes,
yeah,
and the way that there's so much references and so much depth in history of comics, he's not going to be able to work in this partial world. He's not.
No.
Well, I think it's cool if like you say, it was written before all this, and DC seems cool to just let him do that, then we win as the readers.
Well, they're letting Neil Adams do whatever
cool
he wants in Odyssey.
Kind of wish they would tell me that, but
yeah, no, I definitely understand your frustration. And...
But it's a great book. I mean, I hate to say, like, it didn't ruin the reading experience. What it did is it merely made me think, and I'm like, man, how does this one fit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it got me thinking about all the characters that I miss and some of the characters that I get to like again. Like, the Young Justice, that cartoon series has me really into Roy Harper. And, you know, I really like that character, you know, almost that version of him, too, where he's off on his own and he's, you know...
Getting it on with Starfire. Yeah.
And I like the fact that, you know, he's got, like, a lot less heroin in him. And that he could play, like, sports that require two arms.
So, I do like my characters with less heroin. If I had to go heroin or not heroin, I'd go less heroin.
I'd go less heroin. And they made that choice so far.
Right.
But, no, he's almost like that kind of character. Just like the Superboy is essentially that Superboy. So I think that show's actually had a little bit of an impact.
Yeah.
I guess my concern is that, you know, the first weeks of the relaunch, you know, and even now, I'm still the one that's saying, you know, try not to worry about the continuity, but, you know, from what everything we've just talked about in the past 10 minutes, I kind of feel like this is something they're going to have to address at some point, or it's really going to be a big issue.
But here's what I think they did. They sat in a room, they said, okay, let's go with what worked.
Right.
Let's drop what didn't work.
Right.
Roy Harper losing his arm.
Doesn't work.
Didn't work.
Get rid of it. Exactly.
And I think I'm looking at, like, Green Arrow. Why did they decide to change it up? Well, you know what? The Green Arrow, Black Canary, marriage, yeah, fighting.
Wasn't selling.
It's done. Yeah. It's been beaten to death. Let's do something fresh. Let's make him the Iron Man, you know, the Tony Stark. Let's try something completely different and see how it goes.
Yeah. And Smallville Green Arrow was a popular character, maybe not with us, but to a broader base. People know that look.
Right.
They see it on the shelf. And they're like, oh, Green Arrow.
Yeah, so I think a lot of this is let's just try something that works or try something different where you have something like iVampire.
Right.
Or Captain Atom. OMAC even, just trying, let's try something different. Let's throw it out there. So I think overall they're, and I don't, they know all 52 aren't going to work.
Oh, yeah.
They're not all going to, but you know what, we're going to get a lot of neat ones, we're going to get a lot of neat ideas, and even the canceled series, I'm sure those characters will be, you know, scooped back up. You know, maybe Blue Beetle and Static Shock won't work, but all of a sudden, what if we get some new group of heroes?
Right.
You know.
Or they end up in Teen Titans.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think it's great just for an idea of let's try to do something either new, or, you know, just fixing things that were broken. So
I felt like they fixed a lot more than they broke.
Yes.
I agree with you.
They didn't really break anything. They fixed
a lot of things.
And they've thrown some stuff out.
Yeah.
And I feel like they have a strong enough core of about 25 to 30 books that really work.
Yeah,
that it's like you say, some of the ones on the fringe, maybe they don't work, but hey, you give it a shot and replace it with a new idea.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with all the new ideas. I guess my issue is these little offhand comments that they're throwing in, like Superman saying, you know, that he has died and come back, but supposedly that's all happened in 5 years. And, you know, Nick, your example with Green Lantern and Sinestro and Parallax and Coast City and all that, that sort of Cascade effect of the history that sort of works and sort of doesn't. And
But, I mean, even the dying and everything, I mean, that can take place over a couple months.
Oh, right.
He dies and comes back the next month, so it's not, you know, it can happen in 5 years.
I'm not saying that none of this can't happen.
And Zero Hour.
Yeah.
And I would much rather...
Good luck with that.
I would much rather them reference it in a page than have to relive the death of Superman.
No, I agree with you. I don't want to see Action Comics stick in the past for so long that 5 years from now I'm caught up to what he meant in Swamp Thing number one.
but what about, you read the Morrison book. Now imagine you're Dan DiDio and you go to Grant Morrison and say, hey, how'd you like to write Superman year one?
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So that's what we have.
No-brainer. I guess I don't want those continuity things to become... I don't want to have a Zero Hour of the New 52, I guess, is my fear.
Well,
I don't,
this time around, who would extent kill? Like,
Purple Hood Lady.
Zero Hour, never mind.
Purple Haired Lady. Whatever.
Well, no, remember, extent killed a lot of Golden Age JSAers.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Well, they all got better, though, didn't they?
Who knows?
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Some people stayed old or dead.
Like it ended up being, like, Mr. Terrific, the Atom, and Hour Man, I think.
Yeah. That's how we got the new.
You know, the ones that weren't working.
Right. So I'm thinking, I remember Wildcat and Dr. Midnight still around, and
some got aged up, and then some people got killed.
I mean, I read Zero Hour, but a long time ago. Yeah. Never
and
read
as long
it again.
As you don't ask questions about Carter Hall, you're good.
I mean, one of the best things about that the 90s DC stuff that I think it's still come back. But I don't know how would be the Android Hour Man. I mean, he can never exist now, right? Because there's no JSA.
Yeah.
But at the same point, he's from the future. I mean,
I heard that was a great
like Bishop
series.
Great series.
I'm from your future. But
so we got the Bishop reference.
Yeah. Bob, we're good. Hey, Joe, who's your favorite artist?
Giuseppe Camuncoli.
Thank you, friend of the podcast.
Adam, was it you that brought up the Purple Hooded Lady? And who you thought that she was, or who's...
No, that was Shane.
Oh, Shane, okay.
She needs a better name.
Shane, what did he think? Of somebody from Legion?
Yeah.
I think so. I think he thought she was Time Trapper, but...
Time Trapper.
Well, I guess the new, you know, DC does their little spiel, their little letter to the readers in the back of every book. And
they read that?
Yeah, you know, they've been posting it on their blog now every Wednesday, which I think is, you know, why do I want to read it on the blog? I'm going to go buy comics, you know. But Bleeding Cool had a thing, I guess, that they were saying. Bob Harris was saying that Geoff Johns came up with a really great backstory for her. And, you know, that's going to be explored sometime. Events. Yeah, I know, and that's, I don't want it to be an event, but B, now that Johns is dealing with, now that we know that he's dealing with the New Gods, I kind of groaned in the back of my mind, and I was like, if she turns out to be Metron, I'm going to...
It's Desaad's sister, they dress the same.
You know, can we just pause for a second, and no matter how many times you say Bob Harris and DC,
I know.
It'll never sound like it belongs.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought when you said that, I was like, that sounds so weird.
But I don't want her to be this gimmicky character that only matters because she was in the splash page for, you know, for Flashpoint 5 and all the new 52.
Well, have we all given up looking for with the number 2?
Yeah, I
haven't looked.
I forgot she existed until you just mentioned it.
Bleeding Cool hasn't posted a list of all her appearances, so I'm assuming she's not there.
Which means we'll forget about her, and this time next year something will happen with her, and it'll be probably
Superboy
a great
Prime
story.
Will probably punch the wall.
Is there no Superboy Prime now?
Sad face, yeah. No.
But see, the cool thing will be, when they get around to doing their crossover, that'll probably be the thing that brings all of this together and makes it all make sense.
You want to bring, like, to
that's my Zero Hour thing that's talking about.
Well, not necessarily bring it all together, but kind of...
I want Wally
I want to see
our Wally to show up.
What I really want to know is where each series exists with respect to the other series.
Right.
That's the thing that confuses me the most. Not
it's
like
the universe.
Yeah, not past continuity, but where do all these series fit into the universe? Well, like, are they?
We're going to start getting some crossovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frankenstein and OMAC, Animal Man and Swamp Thing.
Who made an?
But I don't want to go overboard because I think that's a lot of Marvel's problem.
Kyle showing up in appearances are much different.
Right.
Not according to Matt, but appearances are much different from crossover.
Right.
Wait, what's the difference between our?
I don't know. I know Kyle's going to show up in the next Voodoo.
A Thousand Winters. Where did Kyle show up?
He's going to show up in the next Voodoo.
Oh, right, yes.
So,
and that's part of the reason why I'm...
Yeah, and we're getting, you know, we're definitely getting the Superboy Titans.
Kyle Rayner.
Kyle Rayner. Because
Ron Mars wrote Kyle Rayner in the 90s, right. And he's...
And then definitely getting the Superboy Teen Titans vibe. And so, you know, I don't mind fine.
Legion of Superheroes and Action Comics 5 and 6. I'm totally fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were you trying to say before, Nick?
Now he's showing your Star Trek.
I was talking about the real crossover that matters is Star Trek Legion of Superheroes.
Okay.
How's that? Are you enjoying that?
It's all right. it's just pure setup. It almost reads like an Alex Ross Marvel Dynamite book where it's just like, let's show each one of these characters, of which there are many, and it reads like half of a part one.
Oh God!
But the idea is that they both get trapped in a parallel universe, the same one. So the Legion aren't in the Star Trek universe, and the Star Trek isn't in the Legion. They're both in a different one.
Right. So you're not affecting either one's continuity.
Exactly. Which,
good Lord,
since how it's classic Trek continuity and classic Legion continuity, it's sort of murky as it is.
But how does it compare to X-Men Star Trek?
Well, I liked when there's two Dr. McCoys, so there isn't that.
They both wear blue.
I definitely read that right when it came out. I was like, two of the things I love in one place, done terribly.
Great. That was Peter David.
I don't like the Punisher or Archie, so when they meet, I don't care.
That one was
awesome. This is off topic, though, but I really like Nick's
What's
shirt.
On top?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Nick's shirt.
Yeah.
It's the topic.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Stylin' Online has some crazy cool shirts.
For those of you who can't see Nick's shirt, it's an X-Men shirt.
So one thing, just so everybody can prepare for next
and
week.
And X-Men shirt.
I'll take a picture and put it up on Facebook.
Okay, next week, what I would like to do is just kind of, we'll recap month two. Of the DC number twos. What did you like? What didn't like? What books are you dropping? What books are you keeping?
All
just
of it.
You're dropping all of it. No, man, Adam. Since you already dropped all Marvel, what are you going to read now?
Novels.
So just an idea, because, you know, there's lots of stuff I want to talk about, but I can't because you guys haven't read them.
Mm-hmm. That sounds cool.
You know, I tried to hold it in as much as I could. What?
Just rubbing your preview books in our face.
Yes. No, I just read them last night because I get them a day early.
I think I'm just going to give it up and play Angry Birds.
A lot of people seem to be doing that now. You won't be alone.
Is it pretty? Can I play professionally?
Oh, I don't know about that one, but
so
I'll have my notes ready on that one because there have been quite a few books where the second issue I was kind of like, what happened?
It's funny. There were a couple books where number two kind of sold me on it, mm-hmm. It wasn't like. Dark Knight, I did not like the first issue. Number two, I thought was real good.
Really?
Whereas Justice League Dark, I was really looking forward to, and the second issue made me go, what?
I have a few that the number two issue made me.
Which one?
Let's see. Blue Beetle. What's going on here? Birds of Prey. Green Arrow.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Down.
Okay.
Mr. Terrific.
Come on.
And Stormwatch.
See, now I like Stormwatch too, but we'll get into that next week. Well, everybody make notes.
Right. Supergirl 2 kept me on with Supergirl. That was one that was on the line for me.
Yes and no. Okay. It still seems like it's still part A, and it's stretching. But
I really don't like her costume.
You know what? There were a couple pages where you could tell the guy didn't know how to draw it because she had like the world's largest.
She
crotch.
Should just.
You know, it was just, I was trying to find another image. Oh, no, not like that, but it's like, it's not even panties, it's...
I want someone to explain to me how, you know, there's this mandate to have costumes that are more flattering towards women, and they go from a skirt to that, and that's...
Well, I think they're... With Supergirl, I think they're almost making her Power Girl and Supergirl at the same time. They're getting back to more of the Silver Age Kara versus...
Yeah,
right.
But just,
and I really like Storm.
Look at the front.
Characterization-wise, I agree.
That was fine, but it's just like...
I think the other thing that's keeping me on board, though, is that I feel like I'm learning more about the current-day, modern-day Superman from this.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Really jump attention towards the cross.
I ended up...
It's
after,
not a bad thing.
After rereading Superman number one at your behest, I decided that I'm just going to wait until Giffen comes on the title.
Okay.
I just can't get into George Perez's writing style.
You know how many unintentionally dirty things we have said on this podcast, and Matt's not here.
You know,
he's at home crying.
He's at work crying.
Okay. I'm sure he'd have a bunch of things to say about what you just said about Supergirl here.
One other that I thought took a really big nosedive from issue one to issue two was Captain Atom. I thought Captain Atom number one was fantastic. And
what
Captain
about
number two just did absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a little scared about reading Firestorm. That one scares me a little.
You probably had a lot riding on that.
What, Firestorm?
Yeah.
Why? Really.
Oh, because you like Firestorm.
I do, but I didn't particularly like the first one.
Oh.
That's going on the bottom of my pile just for the same concern and trepidation.
So, and then next week we'll also talk about, we had the new Wolverine and the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
We had the new Incredible Hulk. So we'll chat. Well, about him now.
Yeah.
That was his thoughts.
That was my thought on the issue.
Or Chad would say,
Spider Island.
Yeah, oh, Spider Island wrapped Spider up today. Island, yeah,
week.
Yeah.
Interested to get Adam's take on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once I read it.
The ending just left me, not in a bad way, just in a...
I will say,
I can't really give anything
away. If you
had
told me 5 months ago that Spider Island would have been a better story than Fear Itself, I would have thought you were crazy. And
well, frankly, the better story they have going on right now is an event, and it's taken forever to end, though, but it's a lot better, is Children's Crusade. It's a lot better.
Oh, what?
The biggest story that Marvel's told all year round.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite story I've read lately? Uh-huh. I can't wait to see how it ends. That all-winner squad. I can't wait to read how that one ends. I've been loving that.
Like, you are going to wait.
What? What do you mean, Nick? I don't understand.
Well, the sad thing is the issues are done.
Daredevil Target comes out.
God, when I read that, I couldn't. And it was funny because I actually got it in an email on Thursday, but they always send Marvel, every week Marvel sends us an email telling us about, you know, changes, you know, different artists, things like that. And it totally
awesome.
It totally
what
his hat.
Oh, I totally missed that. It said that those issues had been canceled.
Oh, Lord.
And it's like, how do you do an 8-issue mini and you cancel it after right? 5 with no ending?
Back to the Future.
Oh, okay.
So I don't get that one.
Maybe they just sold so few.
Well, that could be, but there's still kind of, I mean, I have that problem with a lot of indie books that just kind of disappear. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say I expect it, but it's not a big shock.
Right.
But for a Marvel book to do a mini and have it not complete is really kind of weird.
The last time I remember that happening was Stormwatch Team Achilles.
Okay.
Where they never released the last Aww. Issue.
Okay.
Well, oh, Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Can you think of another time that happened?
But I mean, I know it's like the series The Great Ten, they cut down to 9 issues, but it's still finished. But and a lot of people said, oh, you know, I'll shelve it right next to the 12. So I thought that was good. But yeah, just that was one of those what? So a lot of bad kind of news coming out of Marvel lately with the
letting,
yeah, the firings, and yeah. I posted about the
yeah, but
the interns. I know, and somebody said that's what happens. I'm like, oh, I understand that happened. I just find the timing odd that 2 days after you fire 15 people, you advertise their jobs as unpaid interns.
Well, I was reading some more into the firings, I guess, and I believe his name is Isaac Perlmutter, the guy that owns Marvel. Yes. I guess they were just saying that, you know, no one should blame, and there was someone who got fired or laid off from Marvel who was even saying that, you know, no one should be blaming any of the Marvel editorial or anything. It's just kind of what happens when you run a business and when you own a business. You know, your idea is to make more money next month than you did the month before, and you're going to do what you got to do. And if that's what he felt he needed to do with his company, then that's what's going on.
But it's not his company anymore. He sold it to Disney.
Well, someone else's... I like Comics AM on Comic Book Resources because they kind of gather different news sources about one topic. And I was reading through those, and someone's kind of idea on that topic was that now that Steve Jobs has died, he is the largest shareholder at Disney. Yeah. And he kind of wants to make Marvel like the new big thing in the next coming months. Isaac Perlmutter.
Yeah.
He used to own Marvel now, but he still runs it. And I guess he's taken a more hands-on approach to running the company because he kind of wants to be that go-to, just like Pixar became that go-to department at Disney. He wants Marvel to be that go-to department.
I just don't know getting rid of that many people. And it sounds like some of them were key people.
Oh, yeah. Lots of editors on books.
So, yeah, it's just one of those, what?
Speaking of goings-on behind the scenes, I saw a story on, I think it was Bleeding Cool, saying that Bill Gemmis has signed on with Wizard to do a weekly column, which sounds like it might be kind of a tell-all in the vein of Jim Shooter's blog.
Oh, right, yeah. Because that Jim Shooter blog is great. You've been posting some of that, Colin, and it's
very
interesting.
I was just reading it today where he's going over some of the new 52 and Ultimate Spider-Man, just kind of reviewing it.
Okay.
From his editorial, he was reading it, one as an editorial and one as a new reader, kind of giving you both. He's like, oh, as a new reader, fine. As an editor, oh my God, this is horrible because this, and this.
Yeah.
So it's been very interesting, but that kills part of my day, so I got to stop doing that. Well, we're wrapping up, too. Yep. So Jeremy's sneaking out, but we need to wrap up. I got to go let Nana go home. So we will talk to you next week. We'll wrap up DC Month 2, and we'll hit some of the highlights of the new Marvel. That's it. See ya. It was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here. I was raised in a small southern community. People used to look at me different because I look different. But the song ain't about race, it's about lines in the sand that we draw to keep on producing any hatred. And internet culture only took away the faces for when we had to say it. Negativity and cynicism took the world over. I rolled my back and grabbed my backpack and hold it over my shoulder. And went down to the comic book store with a copy of Me Against the World bumping. I spent my $10 and learned to love the elements that made me feel so relevant. An itch, a place to feel something. And I grew up thinking one side was better. And I ignored tradition, thinking half the story could shepherd me through the gateways of seeing a world that lay beyond the racks that spun at the front next to the register. And all I hear is Marvel versus DC. And all I see is a sea of people like me. And all I feel is the hate in their voices, ignoring the choices life has given you and me. And all I hear is Marvel this and DC that. And all I see is a sea of people at my back. If you're down to stop with all the naysaying, then I don't go rock.
big guns, the breasts, the muscle bearing chests, absurd jackets and outfits. Each saga and death, the funerals and the time spent with secrets comic creators kept. I was a zombie walking around in a daze. I was a fan with crises on the way. And I still remember back when mom and dad would fight. I'd read a comic and sketch to pass the day. I'm feeling better now, life is slower now. And I see that I can love it for what these pages say. And sure, at times I'm frustrated, but great writing is dope. And sick ass art can be the saving grace. And that's whether it's Green Lantern or X-Men, Ghost Rider or Next Wave, the origin I look through. So that's why when I rap, I try to talk about the things that bring us together the way that comic books do. And all I hear is Marvel versus DC. And all I see is a sea of people like me. And all I feel is the hate in their voices, ignoring the choices life has given you and me. And all I hear is Marvel this and DC that. And all I see is a sea of people at my back. If you're down to stop with all the naysaying, then Adam Warlock is here to keep the tape playing.
That was a good drum break. Come on.
There ain't a thing that I can do about this black hole. We're all swimming in a dead pool of lost souls. Got more to chew on, sort of like a mind bender. A brainiac on the mic, that's why I stopped going back to the store. Cause the fans were like the Walking Dead. Just banshees screaming off all their talking heads. It's like they saw Spider-Man left like Batroc. Corporations raised the price of shutting out the have-nots. And you can call them the Illuminati New World Order. Made a Franken castle like I told you.
So strange.
Call a doctor. Call Doom. Now they got ya. Weak as Tony Stark when he's chilling out sober. I ain't no Casanova. I can't convince you. Mr. Sinister in your minds I can't get into. But if you wanna be a Superman, show me. Stop with all the pointless battles like Don Quixote.